Ephesians chapter 4, we're looking in this evening. We're looking at the deadly devices of our enemy, the devil. There are many weapons that the devil has in his arsenal. And we're taking some time on Sunday evenings right now just to highlight some of the most potent ones that he uses in our lives. The first one that we looked at last week was the giant of pride. And oh, how the devil uses that in our lives, doesn't he? How he strokes our pride. How he causes us to think that we are sufficient within ourselves. How he keeps us from wanting to admit when we're wrong and to seek forgiveness from whomever it's needed. By this giant of pride, the devil has slain thousands upon thousands. Many have gone into a Christless eternity because they thought they were sufficient within themselves in order to merit heaven. That is the dart of the devil that strikes a heart like that and causes someone to go out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want us to look at a second one of these deadly devices. These things that the devil uses to strike us. This weapon, just like the dagger of pride, is one that the devil often wields. He's found great success using this weapon, and many a victory he has gained over it. This weapon that we're looking at tonight that the devil has is a weapon that's used and has broken up many homes. It has severed many relationships, many a Christian testimony, has been hindered significantly through this glaring weapon that the devil uses. Tonight, I want us to consider out of Ephesians chapter 4, the deadly device of anger. Truth of the matter is, this device the devil uses from time to time in every life here. Sometimes he shoots this dart repeatedly. And there are some that could be described here in this room, perhaps. There may be someone here and you feel like, you know, that is to me the besetting sin. That is the thing that that's my hot button. And that the devil's just got that. And that is what he continually battles me over. Perhaps that's true. But for all of us, from time to time, the devil shoots us with this. And I want us to look tonight at what God has to say. There are so many things that he has to say in his word about this particular dart. And I want us to look at them tonight, looking at some examples that we see in the scripture and then what God has to say out of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look at it. Dear Lord, would you help us tonight as we look into your word? We thank you for your Holy Spirit and we are thankful for his ministry to us. How blessed we are to have him, and thank you for the way that you, by your Spirit, prompt us to do right, to respond right whenever the devil is shooting these kinds of darts at us. Thank you for the empowering that you give to us so that we don't have to give in to this dart that the devil would strike in us. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us tonight to be reminded of something out of your word that will help us as we do battle against this particular weapon in our enemy's arsenal. So help us, Lord, tonight as we look into it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about anger tonight, I want you to notice Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. I'm sorry, Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Look at those first three words. The Bible says there, be ye angry. Now that may startle us just a little bit, but let's think for just a moment about what it is that the Lord may be speaking to us about here. What is anger? We're going to define it with three ways tonight. Anger is, first of all, a feeling of displeasure. Nobody is angry without some degree of displeasure taking place. We're not happy and angry. We're not pleased and angry. When we get angry, we are displeased. There's a very strong feeling of displeasure. And the truth of the matter is, there are so many things in life that can cause this displeasure that we feel. It could start in the morning. We thought we set the alarm the night before, and for some reason we didn't set it, or we set it wrong, or it didn't go off or whatever. And maybe that causes this displeasure. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we're glad when the alarm doesn't go off. But we've got a schedule to keep, and we got to get to work, and the alarm doesn't go off, and we can be irritated about that. We go out and start the car, and for some reason this morning the car will not start. That can create some displeasure. Then we hear from one of the kids that they forgot their lunch money at school today. And so that's got to be tended to in some way. Or there's traffic's just moving very, very slowly on the way to work. There's so many opportunities that we face just in day to day life that can bring to us displeasure. When you and me are highly displeased, that's when we tend to become angry, especially if the thing that we're displeased about is an event that happens repeatedly. If Johnny forgot his lunch on Monday and then he forgot it again on Tuesday, and then he forgot it again on Wednesday, and this repeated thing that takes place, that's when it's ripe for us to be very highly displeased about something like that. Or if the event is something that's very near to our hearts, something that gets very close to our heart and it didn't work out the way I think that would please me for it to work out, and I become displeased, and it is very important to me, and then all of a sudden it's very easy. The situation is very ripe for me to become angry. When I have a feeling of displeasure, I can get angry. And usually when that displeasure comes and that anger comes, well, along with that displeasure, there is a statement of demand. Is this right, Mom, Dad? You get frustrated and get angry with Johnny or Susie about something, and usually there's some kind of a demand in that anger. You better not forget your lunch money tomorrow. You know, there's usually some kind of demand that accompanies that feeling there. And often there is some kind of intent to destroy, right? When you hear of anger taking place, usually something is being destroyed. You know, you hear dad comes home and he's frustrated and he kicks the dog or he's upset about something. There was something that was displeasing there. And so he puts his fist through the wall or through the door, or he does something. There's a very high displeasure. There's a demand that's being made over that displeasure. And then there's destruction. That angry person intends to destroy something. I want you to think for just a moment about how that works. Let's see it working in a couple of people's lives. To show us how powerful this particular dart is, the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 12 about this man Moses. The Bible describes him in Numbers 12 and verse 3 as being meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. So we're talking about a very meek man. One that the Bible describes as meeker than any man upon the face of the earth. And yet the devil shot Moses with this particular dart. And Moses fell to it. Look just quickly for just a moment at that. In Numbers chapter 20, we see that. Moses is angry here with the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 20. Just listen briefly here to this story. Verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode at Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died with our brethren when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die here, should die there? Why? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It's no place of seed or figs, of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. You can hear the people here very frustrated about the situation. And Moses and Aaron went before the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And listen to what Moses says. You can hear the complaints, the struggle with the people, all the words that he has heard there has just about gotten the best of him. And so he gathers them together. And listen to what the man of God, the meekest man in all the earth, said. Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And notice that what's taking place in Moses' life here. He's gotten shot with this dart, and he falls. You say, well, I'm not sure that Moses is angry there. Well, remember, Scripture is the best commentary on Scripture. When you hear what God had to say about this event in Psalm 106, verses 32 and 33, the Bible says this: They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. So here's Moses. Strong displeasure, strong demand that he makes here of the people. And then he's out to destroy. And what God has said, told him to speak to this rock, and you can see he didn't kick the dog. He didn't bang his put his fist through the wall. He took that to rod and he hit the rock. Expression of that anger. But then I want you to notice in Mark another example that we see. Here we see the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice these same qualities can be true. Mark chapter 11. And verse 15. A couple of the other Gospels have the same account. Verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out, cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Here the Lord Jesus comes on the scene, and he's very displeased with the money changers. He's displeased with what they're doing. He demanded that his father's house would be a house of a place of worship. And he destroyed the business of those merchants who had violated his father's wishes. So you see those things that are taking place here. And there's an important principle here for you and for me. That my anger ought to be a godly kind of anger. And godly anger is always displeased at the things that God is angry about. It's displeased with the things that displease God. Godly anger is making the same demands that God makes in His Word. It sets out to destroy those things that oppose God. Our godly anger does. And when the Bible tells you and me in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be ye angry. You know what the truth of the matter is? For some of us, we're not angry as we should be. We can become so complacent. And so things that are opposing to our God, we just ho-hum through the day and say, well, that's just part of life in the United States in the 20th century, the 21st century. That's just what you have to live with. And we get so accustomed to it. We can hear the Lord's name taken in vain. We can hear it used profanely. And we just go on our merry way. As you know what? That's life. We've gotten so accustomed to it that it no longer angers us anymore. You know what? It angers our God. When we see things that take place in the culture all around us that are absolutely in opposition to the teaching of the Scripture, and we walk through life so casual about those kinds of things. The stuff comes across in the newspaper. It comes across the television screen. Or perhaps in other media. Perhaps in books that we're reading and things. And we just treat it so casually. Truth of the matter is, we ought to be angry about some things. And it's a mark of my own backslidden condition. When things that are an affront to God, I treat casually. I ought to be angry about the things that God is angry about. The things that are near to His heart. But you know what? Is it not true? Most of the time when you and I get angry about something, that's not what's at stake. Most of the time, it's not God's character that we're protecting. It's not God's interests that we're protecting. It's our own selfish interests that we're protecting when we get angry. When you and I are most prone to be angry, we think for a moment about some of the causes of it. When you and I get frustrated, we get angry. Frustration comes when our goals are not achieved. And it may be a very simple goal. I may come home at night and I want to be able to relax. And right when I turn the knob and walk in the door, I can tell this is not a relaxing place. There's something going on. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing my goal thwarted, right? It's not going to happen. I'm trying to get to work and I'm trying to make it through, and I've left the house a little bit late, but my goal is to get to work. And then I got on Independence, and we're going down Independence, and it's slow, and traffic is slow, and my goal gets thwarted. It could be something as simple as that. That could set us off and just kind of leave us edgy through the day. When we get frustrated, that's when we tend to get angry. And you could see in Moses' situation, Moses is very frustrated here. When people do things that hurt us, we can tend to respond in anger. A spouse says something and it hurts our feelings. Kids do things and it hurts us. And we can tend to respond in an angry kind of way because we've been hurt. Sometimes those are the things that take place. Sometimes when we get put in situations that are fearful and we feel very vulnerable, then we can tend to respond that way. And you can imagine what's going on in Moses' mind right now. The meekest man in all the earth, the Bible says. And here's Moses. He's frustrated with the people. Probably hurt. All that God has used Moses in helping those children of Israel and leading them out of that land of Egypt. And then they say to him, "What'd you do that for? Why didn't you just leave us there? We were better off there." I imagine that was pretty hurtful to him. The last time the children of Israel didn't have water, they came at Moses with stones in their hands. He may be just a little bit afraid. What's going to happen here? And sometimes we get angry when those kinds of things happen. But if you recall in Numbers, the issue, what is at the heart when the devil strikes us with this dart? What's at the heart of that? Do you notice in Numbers chapter 20, when God comes to Moses, the first thing that God says to Moses about this in the next verse there, "Why did you not believe me?" That's what he says. Let me give us that verse real quick in Numbers 20. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron," verse 12, "because ye believed me not." That is so much at the heart. I have such a desire to please myself. And when things don't seem to be working out according to my pleasure, and my goals have been frustrated, they're not being accomplished, and I respond in an angry way, I am not believing God. I am not seeing God in this picture. When I put my fist through a wall or through a door, or when I respond in some kind of an angry way like that, God is nowhere in sight in my thinking. What's front and center in my thinking is me. And this is what I wanted to see happen, and it's not happening. And God's not in the picture. I'm not believing God about this. Moses is not showing the people God here. Moses is showing his own frustration. How he's going to deal with this situation. And that's exactly what takes place in our lives. When the devil is shooting us with this dart. And we can respond in such an awful way when we've gotten shot with that and say some very unkind things things that later just grieve us. But that's this dart. Proverbs has so much to say about this kind of a spirit. I want you to just listen to some verses in Proverbs, painting the picture of the angry man. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 12 and verse 16 says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." A fool's wrath is very quickly known. You're not waiting on that. The angry man spewing out, the Bible says, Proverbs says, that is the mark of a fool. He's just quickly letting it all out there. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword." That's what anger does. "But the tongue of the wise is health." Proverbs 14, verses 16 and 17. "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated." Proverbs 14 and verse 29. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." You see the connection there? An angry man is acting like a fool. The fool said in his heart, "No God. And in my anger, I'm going at it as though God is not in the picture. I'm foolishly going after it the way I think it ought to be." Proverbs 15 and verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 15 and verse 18, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." Proverbs 16 and verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Proverbs 17 verse 27, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." Proverbs 20 verse 3, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." Proverbs 20 verse 22, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee." That's the intent of the angry man. I am going to recompense this evil. I am going to make this thing right. Proverbs 25, verse 28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Proverbs 29 and verse 8, "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath." Proverbs 29 and verse 11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Proverbs 29 and verse 22, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." See what's taking place in all of the anger there. The man, the woman, the child, the boy, the girl, the teenager, the young adult, the seasoned adult. Whenever we respond in anger, we are acting like a fool. Now, we don't think in those terms. All we can see at the moment is the goal was thwarted. I am displeased. It didn't happen the way I feel like it should. And boy, because of our own pride, that we looked at last week. The devil is right there ringing the bell every time things don't go the way we think they ought to go. And how often we can get shot with this. Whenever a man is raging, it is a fool. He's acting like a fool. Then I want you to notice just very quickly, back in Ephesians, those are some examples there, but look at what the Bible says about how to handle anger. Be ye angry, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not, the Bible says. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Four quick things. Number one, for me to deal with anger the way God intends for me to deal with that. Number one, I ought to be honest and loving. Ephesians 4, verse 15, the Bible says there, speak the truth, but speaking the truth in love. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. People cannot read our minds, and so we must speak. But whenever we speak, it ought to be spoken truth, and it ought to be spoken in love. That's the way God wants us to respond. That's the way He wants us to deal with one another, as spouses, as parents, as fellow believers, speaking the truth, but doing it in love. Be honest and loving. Number two, be current. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be current. Share what is troubling you before it builds up. If we're not current, and we let those kinds of things build up, the more it builds, the more apt we are to respond in anger. Don't expect that our spouse or our children or anyone else can read our minds. If there's some struggle there that's developed, then let's talk about it. Let's talk about it truthfully. Let's talk about it lovingly, but let's talk about it. Let's don't put it aside and let it fester so that the devil uses it and shoots the dart and are in a ripe situation, and then we respond in a wrong way. Be current. Number three, attack the problem, not the person. One of the great challenges in a marriage, when struggle begins to develop, it's from the attack on the person. And that's exactly where the devil wants us. He doesn't want the problem resolved. He wants the problem to stay there, and he wants to continue to go back and forth. He doesn't want anybody to focus on the problem. He wants us to focus on one another instead of really zeroing in and dealing with the problem. Think of what he says there. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's talk truthfully, lovingly, and immediately, but let's talk about the problem. Let's don't throw daggers at one another. And then finally, verse 31, let's be patient. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember how God deals with you. Remember how patient. Remember how long-suffering. Remember how loving and how gentle and how kind God is in His dealings with us. Where in the world do we get off dealing with people, with our spouses, with our children, with our fellow believers, with our co-workers? Where do we get off dealing so unkindly, so harsh and so rudely and so impatiently? My, when we look at how patient God is with us and how many times we have come back again asking God's forgiveness for the same thing again. And yet we can so quickly lose our patience. Let's be angry about what God is angry about. And the things, our own personal goals that we like to see take place, and for some reason it didn't take place, rather than responding in anger, rather than just putting it underneath and letting it fester and fester, let's just sit down. Sweetheart, honey, let's just talk about this. Kids, let's sit down here. We just need to sit down and talk about some things. Let's come to some understanding here. The fool just throws it all out there, and then you have to come back and pick up those pieces and try to, you can't retract those words. Now you're trying to deal with all of the hurt that took place when those foolish words were being spoken. How much better it is to hold it in till afterwards, as Proverbs says. Let me step back here. Let me regroup in my own thinking. Let me dispel the carnal, wicked thinking that's going to only create more hurt. Let me pull together here. Now let's walk through this the way God intends. Let me walk through this the way God walks with me through things. And how that still small voice, how God gets only as strong with me as He has to get my attention. He's not bulldozing over me. He's tenderly, graciously coming in and coming back and coming back again and coming back again, tenderly, lovingly, graciously. The devil has used that to destroy many lives. But the Spirit of God can enable us, just following these simple truths here, to respond in a way that honors the Lord and that is a blessing to those around us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, how grateful we are for Your long-suffering with us. How patient You are with us. Your loving ways are so appreciated by us. The tenderness and the way that You deal with us, we're so thankful. Give to us, Lord, that kind of tenderness. May we walk by your Spirit, that we might not fulfill the fleshly lusts, one of them being this very dart of anger in our lives. And may we be, Lord, moms and dads and children and fellow believers and co-workers that are kind and tender-hearted and forgiving of one another. Make that so in our lives, Lord. Give to us victory in these areas, Lord, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.